really is ecclesia, or the called out assembly. Meaning the building itself is not the church, but we are. Those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we make up the church. We are part of the local body of Christ. One important aspect of that is, I believe, church membership. The Bible does teach that. Local church. But as we think about that, why do we then come to the building we call church? It's not just some social get-together or social gathering. Many are gathering this morning around our nation for social reasons. Some are gathering because they want to invest in kids and enjoy working with kids, but that doesn't have that spiritual aspect. I remember back in Muskegon, a man that we knew who came to our church, frequented our church, was in a different church who did not make the gospel plain and clear to his family. He was burdened for his family, and he still is. And so it's interesting the reasons that his family would go to church. There are so many different reasons we can come to church. But a poll has been taken, a Gallup poll actually, was taken about some of the different reasons people go to church. There were seven different questions that were asked. And as they gathered these reasons, the highest way, and actually the two highest, were sermons that teach about Scripture and or sermons that help connect religion to own life. Not about the music, not about the social gathering, but about God's Word, the message of God to the heart of man. That God would work. God would do something incredible. Religious programs for children and teens were a major draw. And I believe, again, we have programs for our kids and our teens, not so we can draw people in, but because we want to teach our kids and our teens on their level and where they're at about the Lord. Amen. And their walk with God. As we prepare for this week, we think of Wednesday and our Harvest Festival as we're bringing in parents. Hopefully a number of these kids will come in. Opportunities for you and me to get to know families and build relationships. Or maybe for some of you, just reconnect with people you've already known through the community. Thursday evening, as we have a concert with the Merrills, inviting people to come in and enjoy good music. Because music is important. But it's another opportunity to invite the friends, neighbors, people in. Friday evening, as we have the carnival. These purposes for this week aren't just so we can get more people to come into our building, but so we can see people come to know Jesus Christ and walk with Him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. People are crying. They need something. An old song, people need the Lord. Every day they pass me by. You can see it in their eyes. They're looking for something in all sorts of things. But Jesus is the only hope. So then here we are as believers. Many of you in here know Jesus Christ as Savior. You look back to the time in your life when you asked Jesus to save you. If you can't look back at that time, today is the day of salvation. You need Jesus to save you from your sins today. But for many of us here, we look back to that time. I was 4 and a half and I realized I was a sinner and my sin was condemning me to hell. And I needed Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. I've been saved now for 31 years. But sometimes we just get desensitized to our Christian life. We go to church because that's what we do. I go to church because I don't remember a time in my life when we didn't go to church. It wasn't that I grew up as a kid and then when I was 14, my parents got saved and started going to church and I had to learn this new habit. It's always been in my life. Now, that wasn't what made me saved. It helped to ground me in the Word and realizing I need Jesus. But then we look at our lives and sometimes we say, I just don't want to go to church today. Now, sometimes we won't verbalize that. At least that way, because people might think different of us. Our spouse might think, whoa. We know how to hide certain emotions, at least try to cover them up. But sometimes we say, well, I just don't want to go. I don't feel like it. Sometimes there's sickness and we can't. It hit my family today. Two of my family, my wife and our oldest Hannah, they're back at home sick. I understand that. More than me, it's all about God. God knows that. But it's when we just don't want to go and we don't go because our attitude stinks. You ever been there? I have. Man, and there's been times where I've just struggled. I just don't want to go to church. But it's then that we need, if you will, church the most, because it draws our focus back to God. But if you look in your life and you say, it's a continual battle, or you look at your kids or your teens and say, man, it is a struggle. Well, why is it that people don't want to go to church? There can be all sorts of reasons. It's boring. Yeah, have you ever felt that way? Okay, my dad was my pastor for a number of years. I couldn't listen to my dad preach. Do you know why? Because my heart wasn't right with God. That's why. But I became an adult and I'm like, my dad's a good preacher. Why did I struggle so much as a kid? I would read my Sunday school paper. Anybody else read your Sunday school papers or whatnot during? Yeah, I mean, good. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. I mean, man, we do that kind of stuff, right? I mean, and it's, I remember it's just, man, is this ever going to end? There's a reason we put the clock in the back so everybody watches you turn. But now we all have cell phones. We just look down at our Bible and we see it, right? But the point, or on our watch, that's right. The point of it is, where is our desire? We have desires for all sorts of stuff. I was listening to a message this morning about wants in life and learning to be content with the stuff God's given us. And one of those important aspects is learning to appreciate what God has given us. The current things He's given us. But then as we go on from there, it's learning to know God. Psalm 27 this morning. In Psalm 27, we see five reasons that I should come to church. Yes, I need to listen to God's Word because preaching is a big part of church. It's the bulk of our Sunday school class. It's a big part of our Sunday evening services. It's a big part of our Wednesday night. And in the auditorium, it's a little different on Wednesdays as we have prayer requests. We call it our prayer meeting. We pray for our missionaries and present them. We share praises and prayer requests. But we always end with a message from God's Word. Often, it's simply a springboard for you to go and do more study into that aspect. But we need God's Word. But Psalm 27 mentions five different reasons, if you will, that I can and should come to church. Predominantly verses 4 through 6. The whole psalm, number 1, reminds us, though, that it's a sanctuary of peace. Psalm 1, or 27, verses 1 through 14, reminds us it's a sanctuary of peace. We'll look at that a little bit later, specifically as we look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. But in verses 1 through 3, he talks about the peace that he has. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's not just he doesn't have to fear, he has peace in the midst of turmoil because it's a sanctuary of peace. Number 2, we see that it's a sanctuary, or we see the Lord for who he is. When I come to church, yes, it's a sanctuary of peace, but in verse 4, I'm reminded that I see the Lord for who he is. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To what? Behold the beauty of who? The Lord. It's not so people can see me at church. It's not so people can see my cute outfit that I just got. Now, I don't wear cute outfits, but it's not just so we can have people looking at our outfits or our hairdo. Those are okay things. Again, we can praise God for nice clothes. God's given us all things to enjoy. Again, as we look at the blessings He's given us. But when we come to church, it's to see the Lord for who He is. As we sing songs, they're all about God. Remember the first couple songs we sang had the word theme? This will be my theme in glory. It's about the Lord. So we see the Lord as we come to church. But we're reminded not just that it's a sanctuary of peace and that we see the Lord for who He is. Verse 4 reminds us that we seek after the Lord. To inquire, the last part of verse 4 says, and to inquire in His temple. We seek after the Lord. Or do we simply sing, Savior, Savior, do not pass me by? Or am I seeking God as I sing? You know, when Joanne plays these offertories, it's not just so we can have a commercial break and talk. And I understand there's things sometimes we need to lean over and tell someone. I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is, this is not just a commercial break. It's an opportunity for us to seek God. When we have communion, the Lord's table, as we celebrated a few Sunday evenings ago, and as the elements of communion are passed around, it's not just a time for, okay, whatever's going on in my life. It's a time to seek the Lord. We often focus on Scripture, and then there's a time we can again pray. Here, he's reminded, as we come to the house of the Lord, I can seek the Lord. As I see Him for who He is, and as I'm reminded, it's a sanctuary of peace. Number four, we see that it's a solace from the world. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The word solace, to comfort or relieve in affliction. It's a solace from the world. You ever struggle in life and it's just like, I just can't wait to go to church? I know I've shared this, but this last year, the previous year, 2016, when I was working for McDonald's, it's unreal what Wednesday evening prayer meeting became to mean to me. It was a solace from the world. It was a time I could just come back and I needed that. You know how many I didn't want to go to church? The stress of the day at McDonald's and the stress. Fast food is stressful. It's stressful as you eat it and it's stressful as you make it and serve it. But really, I mean, man, there were a lot of ways. I just didn't feel like going to church. I remember one time, I was scheduled till 6 o'clock. Service started at 7. I rode my bike. And by the time I got out and got home, it was enough time for me to get changed. Karen had to have all the kids ready and we had time just to jump in the vehicle and she drove so I could eat something. I needed church. Not so I could be there and say, look at me. You know where I sat during that year? I often sat in the back. We got to sit with Karen's grandparents, and it was a neat opportunity on Wednesday evenings. But it wasn't about people seeing me. Man, it took on a different meaning. It was a solace from the world. I'm thankful for that. As we gather together at the Lord's house, it's also a place where we can offer sacrifices of joy or worship. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Our song service is not just a preliminary stuff so Pastor Josh doesn't have to preach the whole time, or so you don't have to listen to me the whole time. It's truly part of our worship. But indeed, it's only part of our worship. Why do I go to the house of the Lord? Because it's a sanctuary of peace. I can see the Lord for who He is and have that freshness. Because sometimes our glasses get cloudy in the world and in my struggles. And I just need them wiped off and say, thank you, God, for that fresh view of you. I can see Him for who He is. I can seek after Him. Yes, we do that alone, but there's something about corporate worship David is talking about right here even. It's a solace from the world. The sacrifices of joy to worship, to adore and reverence with supreme respect and divine honors. It includes both attitude and act. It's not enough for me to come and sing the song, wah, 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 and then get to the end and wonder what I sang. That's the act, the action. And that's important. You may say, well, I don't sing well. You sing to the Lord. I think it's an important aspect of worship. But that's just the act. If the heart is not in it, that's not worship. So those are reasons why we should come. Well, how do I ever get to the point of wanting to come to church? I just struggle with it. Yes, I know it's good and I'm thankful for the messages and hopefully you've worked through this. But there are times in life when you just say, I just don't want to come. How do I get to that point? How do I work through those struggles in my own heart and in my own life? Number one, know the nature of the Lord. If I want to come to church, I want to develop that want, that desire to come to church, I, number one, need to know the nature of the Lord. Verses 1 through 6, this really correlates with the first reason we talked about, or the second one. The whole psalm was the first one. It's a sanctuary of peace. But the second reason we talked about, see the Lord for who He is. Know the nature of the Lord. He is good. He is God. He is love. He's holy. He's just. He's my rock, my defense, my high tower, my buckler, my belt, my shield. I can know God for who He is. Not just some God out there who made everything and let it go. He's my very personal God. I can know on a personal basis. Church is not just about coming together so we can do something. It's my personal walk with God. You are meeting with God personally right now. We go so we can know God. But when I don't want to go, I need to develop that relationship, the nature of the Lord. The word nature means the essence or essential qualities, the attributes of something or someone, which make it what it is. I was thinking about water the other day. The nature of water is that it conforms to whatever it's in. I was filling our water pitcher and thinking about how the water, again, it comes out of the faucet in that cylinder shape because the faucet is that way. It goes into the filter and makes this oval shape. It goes through the filter with all these little holes and filters out impurities, and then it takes on a bigger oval shape. That's the nature of water. We can know the nature of God because He's revealed Himself in His Word. We see through creation what He's done. Isn't He an awesome God in creation? We see who He is in our own lives and the peace that He brings. But man, if I want to have that desire, I need to know the nature of God. That He is the protector. Verse 1, David said, the Lord is my what? My light and my salvation. Turn on the light and you have some direction. Living by Lake Michigan, when we would go out to the lake and we'd go out on a boardwalk, they would often have life preservers so that they could throw them in case someone went over. That helps. It's a salvation. But the ultimate salvation for this life and eternity is only found in Jesus Christ. We mentioned that already. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. But it's not simply He's our salvation to get us into heaven. And He is our salvation to get us through life and the trials and troubles of life, that we don't have to turn all sorts of other places. In the auditorium class, we're talking about King Saul and how he turned other places, ultimately to take his own life. But he turned to the witch at Endor and tried to seek Samuel. All the problems in his life were all about him. And he was trying to seek Samuel. Well, David, when he gets to the low points of his life, he doesn't seek another man of God. He seeks God Himself, the very nature of God. See God as his protector that He is. He is our strength. Psalm 46 verses 1 through 4 really talk about that. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Sometimes it just seems like life is crumbling beneath my feet. You ever felt that way? Man, I do. You get overwhelmed and you feel like I'm drowning in life. We can know the nature of God, that He is our protector. He is our strength in these difficult times. But as we know the nature of God and see Him as the protector, we can exalt Him for who He is. And that's where verses 5 and 6 talk about, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. What caused David to worship? Knowing the nature of God. When we gather together on Sunday mornings, some of you with young families and the hairiness of the morning to get here, we can worship God. We can know him for who he is. Maybe for you, you don't have all the young kids to get together, but it's, man, you just got to get out and you got to get this done and get that done. Maybe for you, it's easy to come to church on Sunday mornings or evenings or whenever it is that you're able to get out. It's easy because you don't have as many people to get ready. But the reality is we're coming to exalt the Lord for who he is. He is worthy. There's a song that says, worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of love and devotion. If I struggle with a desire of wanting to come to church, I just need to know the nature of God and realize, wow, what a privilege to come and worship. Why is it that those who know Jesus Christ as Savior in some of these foreign countries where they're persecuted greatly, I think of in USSR years ago, at that point USSR, kids, look it up if you don't know what it is. The Christians who would stand out in the winter, in the snow, in the woods, to worship God. They knew the nature of God. The Christians in China who they'll go from hiding to hiding to try to go to house church and worship God. Because they know the nature of God. And sometimes here in the USA, we just get so comfortable in life. We're so focused on us. We don't personally see that every day, the nature of God in our lives. Know him through his word. I need him. The songwriter says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Wow. I need him. I need to know the nature of God. That is one of the ways to help me have that desire to come to church. Know the nature of God. Know the nature of the Lord. But we also see David says, I need to know the presence of the Lord. If I really want to come to church, I need to know the presence of the Lord. He's not just out there somewhere. God is so good. And he is. But he's so good to me. The presence of God. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who wrote the book, Practicing the Presence of God. God is present, more so than the person you live with. He's present in your life, everywhere you go, everything you do. But do I really know the presence of God in my life? Or do I just, yeah, I know it's true. That personal knowledge, that personal relationship, knowing the presence of the Lord. This really correlates with the third reason we listed as reasons I should come to church. We said it is to seek after the Lord. Man, I can know the presence of God. He's with me every day. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow. Again, God knows there are situations that come up that are beyond our control that we can't come to church. Don't come to church because you just want to and you want to infect everybody with your sickness. God understands that. God understands when you just physically don't have the strength. But as much as you have, come. Not for me. I often hesitate as I greet you on your way out. So good to see you today. I often hesitate to say that because I don't ever want you to come because I think it was good to see you. I want you to come to worship God and to know the presence of God in a greater way in your life. Know the presence of God. He's here today. Never to leave nor forsake, Hebrews reminds us. Verse 6. David said, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Not just hoping he'll hear me, but he's right here and he does. He's also right here and hears when I grumble and complain. He did that with the children of Israel. Man, they would grumble and complain and he heard all of it. And as they were wandering, there were ended up being some lasting consequences from it too. But I can know the presence of God. That's what gets me motivated to come to church when I don't want to. God, you're real in my life right now. And God, I sure need your strength because I just feel like I'm drowning. But I know you're right here with me. Would you help refresh that view of the Lord? Clean my glasses that are getting fogged over with this world, so I can know your presence in a fresh way, in a personal way. John 4:24, Jesus Christ meets with a woman at the well. And what is she there? They end up talking about worship. She says, our people say we worship in this mountain, and the Jews say you worship there. Well, Jesus says the day will come when you shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Knowing the truth that he is ever present. Doesn't matter if we're in a mountain or if we're in Jerusalem or if we're at home. Yes, we can worship God at home. As this Gallup poll was taken, one of the biggest reasons that people didn't go to church was because they said we can worship God anywhere. Is that true? Can you worship God anywhere? Should you worship God everywhere? But there's something special the Bible teaches us about corporate worship. David here, in the midst of his struggles. And by the way, David was on a run for his life. Those of you who've been in the auditorium Sunday school class, we pointed that out some, that Saul is hunting David. David's running for his life. He doesn't have that privilege of constantly going to that corporate worship. But his heart is longing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, to dwell in his house all the days of my life. Gentleman Roger that I knew years ago, man, he had cancer that was just eating his bones. I mean, he'd fall and break a bone. He couldn't wait to get to the house of the Lord. And again, there were times he couldn't make it. But it broke his heart because he wanted to worship God together. It was knowing the presence of his life gave him that desire, even though he was in pain, I want to be there. I want to worship God. And God is ever present and we can worship him. But for those of us who have the ability to come out and worship God, let's have that desire. It's all about God. We pointed out this morning in the Sunday school classroom that King Saul, he kept using personal pronouns about himself. Me. This Philistines have come to fight me. God doesn't answer me. And it was about me, me, me. Well, David, he turns and he says, it's about the Lord, the Lord. I'll be strengthened in the Lord. That's where our focus in life needs to be, no matter what situations come, easy or difficult, because his presence is real, that I can worship him, that I can pray to him. God, will you hear and answer me? Verse 7, David says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Notice he doesn't just pray quietly in his heart. You ever had someone say, pray to yourself? Well, I think sometimes people mean pray quietly in your heart to God. But sometimes they say, pray to yourself. I remember being told that as a kid, just pray to yourself. Well, we can't pray to ourselves. But the reality is here, David is crying out loud with his voice to God. It's okay to pray out loud. It's okay for your lips to move when you pray. Samuel's mama, before she got pregnant, didn't she do that? We looked at her a number of Wednesdays ago. Eli thought she was drunk because she's just praying with no sound coming out and her lips are... We can pray to God with our voice. It's okay to talk to God out loud. David says, hear when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He's responding to God in prayer. God, I will seek you. I will pray to you. As he said earlier in verse 4, I will inquire in the temple to pray to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. The more I pray to God, the more I want to be with God. The more I want that time with him. Do you remember a time when your life, when your walk with God was fresh and new and you just wish you didn't have to leave your devotion time? When you just couldn't wait to get to the house of the Lord to worship together? And then it just kind of, well, yeah, that's a good place to be. Yeah, that's good to do my devotions and I'll do them. It just, the desire kind of wanes. David says, I pray to him, God, hear me. My heart prays back, I will seek your face, God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. David, later, he sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery. Tried to cover it up. Ended up, her husband ended up dying through that whole process. Nathan comes to him and he tells him a parable, a story to help speak to his heart. Finally, he says, thou art the man. And David's heart cried out, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. There were consequences for David's life, but you know what? God renewed the joy of his salvation. David wanted to worship, and there's that corporate desire and love. Know the presence of God. Pray to him. Seek him. Verse 8 through 10, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. By the way, does God play hide and seek with us? No, but we often play with him. Adam and Eve tried, and it never worked. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He says, God, you won't forsake me. Your presence is real in my life, and I know it. Is his presence real in your life? Or do you just know he's there? But is it ever-present reality with you that he's right here? That close relationship? In the locker room before or after sports? In the classroom? In the bedroom when no one else is looking? When I get up and prepare to go about the activities of the day, is the presence of God real in my life? To worship, to pray, to seek him. If not, maybe that's why you don't want to come to church. I need to know the nature of the Lord. I need to know the presence of the Lord. But David continues on and he says, I need to know the way of the Lord. He says in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Saul was hunting him down. He needed some just practical help and guidance through life. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And remember our memory verses here? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Not just someday when I die, but in the what? Land of the living. God is good. I can know not just the presence of the Lord, but I can know the way of the Lord. Teens, you've got some decisions to make in the next few years. What about college? What about direction in life, occupation? Where does God want me to go from here? Adults, We have decisions to make, not just in the next few years too, but even this week, all of us. God, which way do I take? Know the way of the Lord. Again, this correlates with reasons number 4 and 5 that we shared earlier. A solace from the world and offering sacrifices of joy. Knowing His direction for life, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to what? This world. How do we know the ways of the Lord? By coming to the house of the Lord. By knowing the presence of the Lord. By knowing the ways of the Lord. Job says, when He's tried me, I shall come forth as gold, even through the difficulties that He allows in our lives. He has direction for life. He offers protection for life. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. Wow. The protection of God to give us strength to go on when we just feel like we're drowning. I have no clue how to solve this, God. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But I can know the ways of the Lord. Again, as I walk in His Word and seek Him. As we gather together corporately and are encouraged that God is still good. One of the things I love about Wednesday evenings is hearing testimony after testimony of what has God done this week that you can praise God for. Sometimes that's what we need just to get our focus off of ourselves and the struggles of the week. God is so good. And His ways are good. Even when He brings me through difficulties, He brings me through them. And seeing the blessings. Talking with Mark Blakeman this week. And Karen, what a blessing. Mark's attitude laying in the hospital bed the other day was encouraged of desiring to know God in a greater way through this. Would I do that? Would that be my perspective if I was diagnosed this week with cancer? I hope so. I need to know the ways of the Lord in my life, the presence of the Lord, the nature of the Lord. Because His protection is real and He gives me strength as I go. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say in the Lord. God will strengthen you to want to go to church, to want to gather together in that corporate worship. So why do you come to church? It could be all sorts of reasons. It might be so that we can hear the message from God to affect my heart. As the Gallup poll said, a big majority of people go for that reason. It might be for some other reason sometime. Because I came today because I knew what someone was going to think if I didn't show up. Oh, that it's all about God. Now sometimes that is a healthy peer pressure. But that would, again, draw our hearts to Him. Remember what David said here. When God said, seek my face, David didn't just say, I'm doing those actions, God. He said, my heart says. So where's your heart this morning? Are you seeking God? Are you knowing the nature of God, the presence of God, the ways of God? I hope so.